the Gentlemen's Stadium for tonight's game.
It's the Wishbone Podcast, your source for Auburn football discussion and commentary. Now, here are your hosts, Van Allen Plexico and John Ringer.
And welcome to the AU Wishbone, brought to you by White Rocket Entertainment in association with the WarEagleReader.com and the War Eagle Sports Radio Network. I'm Van Allen Plexico, and I'm joined this week not only by my co-host, John Ringer, but also by Kenneth Ringer, John's dad, who is the author of the new book about Coach Lorindo. And so we decided to just go ahead and put out a mini episode halfway through the week and let you hear the interview with Mr. Ringer talking about this awesome figure in Auburn history and the new book about him. And we'll be back in our usual time next week with our reaction to the Georgia game and looking ahead to the end of the season. So without further ado. All right. And now we are joined for our big interview segment this week by the author of a brand new Auburn football book. John, why don't you bring this person on board and let's talk about it.
Sure. Our special guest this evening is my father, who's Ken Ringer, who is a graduate of Auburn University and a longtime season ticket holder in multiple sports and now a resident of Auburn.
Yeah.
And he's written a new book about former Auburn coach Gene Lorindo called Lorindo, and we're here to talk to him about it. So welcome, Dad, to the podcast.
Hey, John, it's great to be on here. We listen to your podcast on a regular basis, your mom, Joyce, and I, and we always enjoy it, and it's a real honor to be on your program tonight.
We're thrilled to have you on. It's cool to have a noted author of Auburn football history on board. So, and I'm very proud that our mass media empire, White Rocket, has gotten to bring it to the public. So, first, tell us, just kind of give the audience that doesn't know anything about it yet an idea of exactly what this book is.
Well, this book is a story about Gene Lorindo. Coach Lorindo came to Auburn in 1951 with Shug Jordan. He was coaching at Presbyterian College, where he was an assistant football coach and head basketball coach. He had just won the conference championship in basketball his first year there. And Shug Jordan called him one Saturday and said he was a new coach at Auburn, and he wanted Gene Lorindo to be one of the first members of his staff. Auburn had lost all 10 games the year before in 1950. And so a lot of the coaching staff came from Georgia, and Coach Lorindo would coach the offensive ends, and he would also be the resident manager of the Graves Center housing facility, where most, practically all of the football players and basketball players live. So he came down to Auburn, and he could have been called the coach of discipline, because he and Shot Sin, another assistant coach, were the two guys that were really in charge of discipline on the football team. And Shug Jordan knew that if you're going to have a good football team, you got to have good discipline. So Lorindo was there. The first game that they played was Vanderbilt, who had beat them 30-40 the year before. The Vanderbilt quarterback would later be a star for the Chicago Bears, but Auburn came in there for their first game and won the first game. And they didn't do continue to win a lot of ball games, but they got better and better every year, and they went to 3 Gator Bowls in a row. And 7 years after they got there, they won a national championship in 1957. They only gave up 7 points on the whole year on defense. The next year in 1958, they had one tie, or they might have won another national championship. They were undefeated except for the tie with Georgia Tech, and they outgained Georgia Tech about 2-1 in the ball game. So Lorindo was there with Shug Jordan for 25 years. At a certain point, he was promoted to the offensive coordinator. He recruited Pat Sullivan, And Pat Sullivan, of course, was our first Heisman Trophy winner. And after Sullivan and Terry Beasley, All-American wide receiver, and Dick Smaltz, SEC wide receiver, and others graduated Tommy Yearout, a number of great players, everybody thought Auburn was not going to have anything in 1972. They were picked to finish last in the Southeastern Conference, but they ended up with a 10-1 record. Two big wins that year. Tennessee was in the top five in the nation. Auburn beat them in Birmingham like 10-8. And then at the end of the season, they played Alabama, undefeated, number two ranked in the country. Alabama wins this ball game big over Auburn. They probably waltz in for a national championship. Auburn came back with 8 minutes to go in the game. They were down 16-0. They came back to win 17-16 by blocking two punts.
I may have heard of that
probably
game.
probably one of the greatest wins in the history of Auburn football. Mm-hmm. You were there.
Oh, no, no. I was four, and I was at home in Sylacauga. But I've heard of that game, certainly. I think we all have. So, well, tell me this, and I'm going to John ask some too, but Auburn's had a lot of assistant coaches. What is it about Gene Lorindo that made him worthy of this really awesome biography?
I think Lorindo was a big guy. He was a giant. He was actually from northern Minnesota, and he was French-Canadian. Paul Bunyan was French-Canadian, and he was a giant of a guy, and he was not real. He was an imaginary person, but Gene Lorindo was real. Mm. His father had been a lumberjack up in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. Lorindo had actually played 8 seasons of college football, four seasons before he got to the University of Georgia with Wally Butts, Coach Wally Butts, and then he played 4 years there at Georgia. He played in several bowl games.
That sounds like the plan I was on to get through college.
Yeah, he graduated from high school in 1939, and he graduated from Georgia in 1950. That's 11 years.
Wow.
So part of my book was where had Gene Lorindo been when he got to Auburn? He was 30 years old. Mm-hmm. Where had Gene Lorindo been for the last 30 years? Mm-hmm. And that's part of what the biography of the book is about. He's one of the most interesting people I've met in my lifetime, and he was a great coach at Auburn, coaching the offensive ends like Jimmy Red Phillips, who was an All-American and All-Pro at Auburn, mm-hmm. and a lot of other great receivers like Terry Beasley. The players here who played under him love Lorindo. One writer said he was tough as an anvil of steel. Mm. And several of the players told me everybody was scared of Coach Lorindo.
Part of the way you did this book is you talked to a lot of people and you got their stories about him, their stories of interacting with him, or their stories about things that he did. So what's your one of your favorite stories about Coach Lorindo or Gene Lorindo that you heard while you were researching this book?
I think one of my favorite stories is the story of Bill Newton. Bill Newton was recruited out of the Fayette County High School in Alabama, and his brother was recruited. His brother Bob was a big tackle, about 230. Bill Newton was a guard and linebacker. He weighed 185 pounds. He came here as a walk-on. After the first year, he talked to Coach Sam Mitchell and asked to be changed over to linebacker. They said, hey, he's not going to play as a guard at 185, so we might as well let him play linebacker. Well, they had a drill with Lorindo running the drill. They had a big offensive lineman, and they had a walk-on linebacker standing in front of him with a running back behind the big offensive lineman. So they called Bill Newton to come in. He got in position. The big offensive lineman knocked him on his tail. The running back walks in the end zone. Lorindo comes in and looks at Bill Newton and says, son, is that all you've got? Is that all you've got? Bill Newton said, no, that's not all I've got. He got up. He got back in the line again when his time came up again. He submarined the big offensive lineman, made the tackle. and went on to be one of the greatest heroes in Auburn football by blocking two punts in the end of the 1972 Alabama game. And not only that, he made 22 tackles in the ball game.
Wow.
11 of them individual tackles.
Wow.
So one of the greatest performances in the history of Auburn football. Bill Newton is one of my favorite stories in the book.
That's a good one.
You know, I really like the whole section where he's in World War II. I mean, because so much of it is, you know, sports and football, and that's great. But it was neat to see, like, that he was a big, you know, like, big hero doing heroic, cool things. Even in World War II, he was at, what, Iwo Jima and Okinawa, and he was in Tokyo Bay in a, when they didn't know if maybe the Japanese were going to pull some sneak thing there, you know, and he might get trapped or something. And I just really enjoyed him out there in the Pacific during the war.
Yeah, well, the interesting point to start with, Gene Lorenzo was born on December the 7th.
Mm. Yeah.
And since the day, what we know what the 11th of November is today, honoring all of our armed services people.
Yeah.
Well, Lorenzo was, he was born on December the 7th, 1921. Pearl Harbor was bombed on December the 7th, 1941.
Mm-hmm.
3 years later, Gene Lorenzo was at Pearl Harbor getting on an LST. That's a
a landing ship tank.
Landing ship tank, which is as long as the football field from end zone to end zone.
Man.
And interesting story. I got from the Coast Guard a list of the crew on that LST. And there were only two people alive when I got this. One of them was an officer who had cancer, and his wife said he was dying. And there was one man in Macon, Georgia, who was retired from Bell Sub. His name is Marion Gilbert, and I called him. He had he invited me to come over to Macon and have lunch with him and talk about Lorenzo. I did that. He's called me two or three times saying, "Where is the book, Ken?" Last week, I was very proud to call him and say, "Marion, I have the book. It's on the way to you." He's the only survivor on the LST out of 114 men.
Wow. That's amazing.
But there's a lot of interesting people in the book, as you'll see in the front of it. I list some of them. Andy Griffith is in the book.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, Don Knotts is in the book, and they had never met in life at this point.
That's awesome.
Well, Lorenzo was there in Tokyo Bay when General MacArthur accepted the surrender of the Japanese.
Right.
And later in the book, there's a story in there about Hiroshima, which is very touching to read, when Lorenzo was interviewed 50 years after the bomb was dropped on Hiroshima and the Japanese surrendered.
Mm.
So a lot of history in the book, a lot of famous people. Gene Lorenzo was, like I say, one of the most interesting people I have met in my life. And I might mention something about the Lorenzo family. Mm. His wife was a graduate of the University of Minnesota with a degree in art. They had three children. The oldest son, Cam, was in the New York Ballet. His second son, Mac, was an All-Southeastern Conference tackle and captain of the 1972 team. Their daughter, Leah, graduated from Auburn, got a master's here and a PhD at Ole Miss. She is a speech pathologist in St. Louis.
Hmm.
So I find this family to be very interesting. Everything about Gene Lorenzo was of interest to me, and I tried to put a lot of it into the book.
Yeah, you know, I'm glad you mentioned the family, because I was going to say, the other thing I really enjoyed is once you kind of buy into him as an Auburn figure, and there's so much more to it than Auburn, but I mean, the Auburn is the kind of the entree, the way we come into it. But once you kind of get really wrapped up in his life story and how compelling a figure he is, or he was, then you start talking about his wife, his kids, what Mac did on the football team, the 72 team. And I mean, and then you carry it all the way through to the end to kind of where are they now and everything. And I, you know, by the end of the book, I was really invested in that family and just utterly fascinated by their whole story as part of this little Auburn family within the big Auburn family. I thought that was really neat.
Yes, I think that's definitely the case. And There's just so many things about Gene and Lorenzo that are interesting. He played football at Georgia under Butts. He played basketball at Georgia under Shug Jordan, and he ran track. First game that he played in basketball at Georgia was Shug Jordan, the coach. They played St. John's in Madison Square Garden.
So, man.
And Lorenzo scored 10 points in the game. So,
and he played professional basketball at some point too, right?
He played professional basketball in the National Basketball League, which is a predecessor to the NBA.
Yeah.
Five of the NBA teams came out of that league, and he played for the Oshkosh All-Stars, which won five straight national championships.
That's so amazing. It just is amazing.
He was actually a star football player over, which is now Northern Iowa. It was then Iowa State Teachers College.
Mm-hmm.
When he left the team to supposedly join the Coast Guard, which he did, but he was put on in a reserve unit, and he signed then to play professional basketball. So after that, he did play 3 years of college basketball at Georgia.
After playing professional basketball.
After playing professional basketball, he played 3 years at Georgia. The last year he played there, he was the second leading scorer and leading rebounder on the team.
He was.
And he was planning to play his senior year, but he went into Coach Butts, the football coach, and told him, he said, "Coach, I'd really like to concentrate on basketball. Some of the guys on the basketball team think I could be a much better player if I could just concentrate on basketball." Well, but football was big, big, big in those days at Georgia with Wally Butts. And Butts stood up and turned red, and his veins in his neck started popping out. And he said, "You Eskimo SOB, I brought you down here to play football, and don't you ever forget it."
Yeah, those were the days back when Georgia used to win stuff, and it was a big deal there. That's amazing.
Georgia was a dominating team. Georgia was a dominating team in the Southeastern Conference in the 1940s, and Coach Butts was at Georgia for 21 years. 13 of those years, he led the SEC in passing, his offense.
Mm. They passed the ball in the 1940s?
Well, they had great players like Cinquish and Trippy, and both of those guys could run or throw the ball, either one. And they had Johnny Routes, who later was the head coach of the Oakland Raiders at quarterback.
Yeah.
Well, all right. It's important stuff. The book is now available on Amazon. It's available at local bookstores at Auburn, the University Bookstore and J&M and other local bookstores. Mm-hmm. Or you can contact one of us directly if you're interested. I know that you are set up to do some big book signing events. So tell the audience about that and about when and where they could get a book signed and see you and see some of the people in the book.
Well, we're having a book signing on Saturday after the Georgia game at Johnson & Malone Bookstore. We'll be there from at least 3 to 5 o'clock. In the Alabama game, we will be signing books before the game in the Auburn University Bookstore. Excuse me. And there is a story that will be coming out in the Auburn magazine for the winter issue or fall issue here, and it will be coming out the week of Thanksgiving, and it'll have a feature story in there on Gene Lorenzo.
Awesome.
Excellent. Also, very exciting.
Also, the Inside of the Auburn Tigers is doing a book report on the book, and an email is going out to all Auburn lettermen this week.
Cool. So it's taken off. It's blowing up, and it's well deserving of such. So we want to thank you for coming on the show. John, am I forgetting anything else we need to mention? I guess that's everything.
Nope, that's the big stuff.
I just want to say that we're real excited about the book, and there's a lot of enthusiasm here in Auburn about the book. And if anybody wants to contact me, they can do that at kwringer@gmail.com.
Cool. I'm just kind of sorry to find out that we were struggling against Vanderbilt and Georgia Tech even back then. I was hoping that was just a recent anomaly. I didn't realize we've always struggled with those guys. That's terrible. All right. Well, thanks so much, Mr. Ringer, for coming on board. And I'm sure that our audience is going to want to pick that up. And you know, the Christmas holidays are coming up, folks. So, you know, you guys really supported Decades of Dominance a couple of years ago as a big Christmas present for your Auburn fans. I guarantee you that they will like this book. They will learn a lot about Auburn history, maybe a period that some of the younger fans don't know as much about. It is very informative. It's very fun. It's very exciting. And there's all kind of stuff, like you say, besides football in it. Really a cool book. Thanks a bunch for coming on.
Hey, it's great to be with you guys, and I thank you for having me on the program.
Thanks, Dad. War Eagle.
War Eagle.
War Eagle.
Thanks for listening to the Wishbone Podcast. All past episodes are available at auwishbone.podbean.com and via iTunes. For more Auburn fun, join us on Facebook at facebook.com/auwishbone and follow the show on Twitter at auwishbone. War Eagle.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone Podcast.